It's tax season. And if nothing is certain but death and taxes, what if we don't want our taxes, the fruit of our labors, to hasten the certain death of others? We could just not pay, but that too has a cost. Newly married, Betsy Corner and Randy Kaler understood the cost when they stopped paying for war in 1977, the first year they filed jointly. Each year, Betsy and Randy gave notice to the tax man about their refusal to pay while donating their taxes due to groups helping the poor and victims of war. Their war tax resistance was grounded in their shared opposition to the deadly connection between U.S. militarism abroad and its ever-present threat of nuclear attack. And while profoundly personal in its impact, their ongoing tax resistance was no secret, as Randy gained prominence as the national director of the influential Nuclear Weapons Freeze campaign in the early 1980s. In March 1989, the federal government legally seized their family home in the town of Coleraine, Massachusetts, to recover $32,000 in unpaid federal taxes. Western Massachusetts was by then known not only for anti-nuclear activism, but also a long history of war tax resistance. Assured of their neighbors' support, Betsy, Randy, and their young daughter stayed put. In 1990, the IRS tried to auction off the house, but there were no bidders. The government ended up buying the home for the minimum bid of $5,100. Supporters had publicized the politics of the home seizure, and potential buyers had learned that while the government was auctioning title to the house sat on land leased from a community land trust that had no interest in cooperating with the seizure. A year later, the family still hadn't moved out, so the government successfully sued to evict them. They were ordered to leave by Thanksgiving Day. They did not. Randy was alone at home when federal agents came knocking on December 3, 1991. They took him into custody. That afternoon, a federal marshal returned to Coleraine and arrested Betsy Corner at a neighbor's home. The couple were soon brought before a federal judge who only wanted to know if they intended to reoccupy the home or encourage others to do so. Prevented from reading his prepared statement, Kaler responded simply, "It is my intention to oppose the use of my tax dollars for killing and preparations for war." He was found in contempt and taken straight to jail for up to 6 months or until he agreed to comply with the eviction order. Acting on her intention to avoid jail in order to care for their daughter, Betsy Corner agreed not to reoccupy the home. But when she was asked by the court if she planned to organize others to occupy the house, she reminded them that her supporters were acting on their own behalf. And that next morning, 150 supporters rallied outside their home. 14 people dubbed the Morning After Team then removed the locks installed by federal marshals and re-entered the home. They remained overnight, the first of at least a dozen affinity groups who had pledged to take nonviolence training, occupy the home for a week at a time, risk arrest, and provide support to those in jail and their families. The house was successfully auctioned off in February 1992, 2 months after Kaler's arrest, for $5,400. Police arrested 7 occupiers that day, and Kaler was ordered released from jail, his contempt mooted by the sale of his property. Despite lacking a valid lease for the land, police soon helped the new owners move into the house while Betsy and Randy's supporters sustained their 24/7 peace vigil in a tent shelter pitched on land trust property right next to their house. Over the next 18 months, the Coleraine action turned into the longest and most remarkable war tax protest in U.S. history. Police made 60 arrests, mostly for trespass, including 52 people who spent from 5 days to 2 weeks in jail. The final arrests occurred in September 1993, after a court-ordered injunction forced an end to the vigil. The government never did recover all they claimed was due. And over the span of those several years, Betsy, Randy, and their daughter, and hundreds of their friends and neighbors experienced the power of building community through a commitment to nonviolent direct action. To learn more about the many options for war tax resistance, the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee at nwtrcc.org has a wealth of excellent resources. This has been Jack Cohen-Joppa for Nuclear Hot Seat with a tax season story from the archives of the Nuclear Resistor.